be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
I don't want to go to Las Vegas. Monaco, maybe, but not Las Vegas. Welcome back to the second hour. Tonight's perspectives on America. This is a very involved program tonight. I hope we're not boring you. I hope we're giving you some things to think about. And we'll get to that a little bit later. We ended the first hour sharing with you about the notification of my friend Robbie Noel's passing. She and I actually stayed in touch on Facebook for a long, long time. Then I got barred from Facebook. I'm told I can get back there. They've sent me a code to get back on there. I don't really have a lot of time with it, but it'd be nice to stay in closer touch with my brothers and stuff like that, but and other family members that I talk to every once in a while, but I don't see very often. And some friends and associates I develop relationship with. Funny thing is, you can go to my Facebook page. I've got writers. Justin Smith is a perfectly good example, who will take stuff off my websites and post it on my Facebook page, and they're not blocking it. It's weird. Let's go back to when I was a kid for just a moment. I purchased my first silver coins, rolls of peace dollars, in 1958. I was 10 years of age. 2 years later, I bought my first gold coins, a couple of German 20-mark pieces. Spot gold was 35 an ounce back then. I think I paid about $12 a piece for these coins. But from my professional entry into the world of precious metals, I've always remained committed to honesty, integrity, as fair pricing as we could give, as fast a delivery as we could give, although occasionally, as of late, delivery has been a little bit slower than usual. Some issues with certain post offices in this country. I think part of the problem is the postal authority themselves. I know as of recently, my main supplier has been absolutely inundated with massive orders. It's slowing things up more than usual. Contrary to one of the big television ads that we've watched over the years, we don't ship in 10 days or less. In most cases, Kettle Marine Limited generally delivers in 10 days or less. Have no need to hold people's personal checks for 10 days or longer. That's what questionable companies do. Oh, well, if you send a check, you know, we're going to have to hold that for 14 days to clear our bank. That's crap. Okay? Use your money to pay for someone else's order. That's what they do. We don't. But do keep in mind that during the past 3 years, there have been tremendous shortages of products. It's called supply and demand. We do our best to locate products that we do not have to wait for. Over the years, we've devoted untold thousands of hours covering the health, the education, the welfare of we the people, through not only our daily programming, but through our respective websites, federalobserver.com, drkelly.net, metropolis.cafe, and of course Sierra Madre Precious Metals, which is a division of Kettle Moraine Limited. And my friends, our battles rage on. Many of you hearing this broadcast tonight had known Robbie and myself for many years, not only for our daily broadcasts, for our knowledge of things of an economic nature, and specifically in precious metals. Many chose to put their trust in us. If so inclined, of course, my friends, I invite you to do so again. As many of you know, I broadcast Tuesday through Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on republicbroadcasting.org. And I can be reached by calling 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214. I can also be reached by email at Kettle Moraine Limited. That's Kettle Moraine LTD at cox.net. Other than reconnecting with a good number of folks over the years, I wish to take this opportunity to invite you to spend this day with me so that we can get acquainted, or in many cases, reacquainted, because this is a very unusual broadcast for me today. The program, in effect, is entitled, Who Do You Trust? In this commentary, I've referenced many of the common scams in this industry that you can buy like an experienced investor. I've tried to share with you some of the magicians and unscrupulous gold dealers use sleight of hand and fantastic claims to confuse you and make your savings disappear. I guess they learned their lesson from the government. But we've tried to arm you with some knowledge today. And you're going to be able to successfully and profitably crash-proof your portfolio by buying the right kind of gold and silver at a fair price. It's all about fair pricing, prompt delivery, and frack trust. I hope that you will stay tuned in for the rest of this second hour. If you're unable to do so, I'm always available by phone to answer any question that you may have about your current standing in the metals market, or to help you acquire, liquidate, or trade some of your current holdings. I hope this program is going to raise enough eyebrows to make you look more deeply into your future. It's another day at both Republic Broadcasting and Sierra Madre Precious Metals. And my friends, I will be very proud to serve you and your family. Let's take just a couple of minutes and do something I rarely do. I don't do a lot of commercialization on this program. I really don't. As we speak at this point in the early moments of the second hour, spot gold is sitting at $2,387.82. Spot silver is at $2,818. I don't talk a lot about platinum. A couple of years ago, I had a family who really wanted to buy a lot of platinum because it was a fairer price than gold. The problem is platinum has been a non-eventful entity for too many years. Platinum is used in automobile manufacturing as related to, you know, mufflers or whatever the heck other stuff they're putting into cars. They no longer do it, therefore they're not using the amount of platinum. Platinum for years was twice what an ounce of gold was going for. Now you're lucky if platinum's even half. It's not. It's one of the reasons I've never been a strong believer in platinum. Now, understand that on the general scheme of things, you go to cash it in, you've still got something in your hand. Question is, you make money, lose money, or you're breaking even? Because you're going to exchange it for dollars. Not a smart thing to do. I don't want a lot of dollars sitting here. I took a little bit of time earlier today, about an hour before we went on the air, to come up with a couple of quick little offers. I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it because I've got something else I've got to get into. At the time I wrote this, spot gold was $23.92. It's, as we mentioned, it's down a little bit, currently at $23.87. So it's down about $5. That means you'll save a few bucks here and there. Silver at the time was $28.26. It's now $28.18. So, okay, it's all within a realm of whatever. I put three little interesting offers together to share with you. If silver is what you're looking to pick up, there are some things we can do. I can get rolls of 1 ounce buffalo rounds. These are newly minted rolls. These are not used, beat up pieces of things that have been hanging around. Currently, and this is going to be a little higher than what the reality of the market is right now, we'd be looking at about $637 per roll. If you purchase less than five rolls, it will go up a little bit to $655 a roll. There is an interesting Valcombi silver bar that I've not talked about for a long, long time. It is the breakable silver bar. It's a 100-gram unit. $295 per. Now, I don't know if I can pull this up quick enough. I forgot to make a note because I can't remember exactly how many ounces are in that gram. Yes, I can do it. 100 gram. It's breakable bars. They break into 1 gram pieces. Just 3.215 ounces of silver. So for the number of ounces, it's expensive, but you've got control. You could break them into 1 gram pieces. All right. Little 1, 2, 3 roll situations, $2.95 each per of the 100 gram Valcombi pieces. If you buy 10 rolls or more, you're probably looking at $2.80, maybe $2.79. Let's take a fast look at gold. You know my favorite, the Valcombi Combi Bar, the 10, one breakable, 1/10 gold bar. Okay? It's a 1 ounce piece. Breaks into 10 1/10 ounce pieces. Snap. No powder, no broken pieces. It's unbelievable. Currently running at about $26.37, $26.33 maybe it's down to. The most affordable 1 ounce gold bullion coin right now, newly minted South African Krugerrands at $2,492. And depending on how many you buy, I may be able to get a slightly better price. So if you have interest in any of these kind of products, it's not that I don't have access to other things. I've got access to a wide range of things. There's a new breakable 4 ounce Valcombi, what's called a Skyline bar, that is an amazing product for what it is. Those things are running possibly in the low 200s. That's interesting stuff. But there's a lot of things we can look at. It's not all Valcombi. You want American Eagles? Be willing to pay the price. It's grossly overpriced. Maple Leafs are up right now. Even the Vienna Philharmonics are up right now. And, you know, we're talking about the same purity, the same weight, the same everything. And do some things. These are the things you do to protect yourself. That is what is important. Exceedingly important, my friends. Yeah, I got this article I did, and it disappeared on me. So that means it didn't publish. I got to go find it. It's unreal. Well, I shared an article with you by John Whitehead for the opening segment of last hour. Piece that was, as I mentioned, written in 2016. Now it's 2024. It gets worse. Tyranny by the numbers. In many respects, it is an expansion. The government wants your money any way it can get it. Yeah. They want our money. They have to come up with the money. They got to pay for all these college loans that they're going to forgive. They got to get that covered. They got to have housing for illegals. Food, clothing, medical. I mean, how are they going to pay for, you know, all those airline tickets from all those illegals that they brought in over the border and flew to wherever they wanted to go to? Simple stuff. This government will beg, steal, or borrow, if necessary, but they want our money any way they can get it. You know, I'm sitting there looking at some of the insanity that continues to go on in D.C. This garbage with this Mayorkas son of a you-know-what continues to say, oh, things are better. There's nothing bad. There's nothing bad. They are getting so many people arrested that have been sent back out on the street 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, as many as 8 times. And they're catching him. They're catching these people and bringing them back in that have killed people, raped women, stolen money. What the hell's going on with all this $1.2 trillion spending bills? I mean, somebody's got to foot the bill for this government's fiscal insanity. And that someone is the U.S. taxpayer. It's got nothing to do with whether you sit there on April the 15th and have to send a check to the IRS. But I've watched over the last few years, the deductions are becoming less and less and less. Whether you like it or not, we are paying more taxes to the feds. This is insane. The government schemes to swindle and cheat and scam and generally defraud we taxpayers of our hard-earned dollars have run the gamut from wasteful pork barrel legislation, cronyism and graft, to asset forfeiture, costly stimulus packages, and frankly, a national security complex that continues to undermine our freedoms while failing to make us any safer. And we've also been made to pay through the nose for the government's endless wars, the subsidization of foreign nations, military empire, welfare state, roads to nowhere, the bloated workforce. Well, let's not forget them. They're secret agencies. The fusion centers, the private prisons, the biometric databases, invasive technologies, arsenals of weapons, every other budgetary line item that is contributing to the fast-growing wealth of the corporate elite at the expense of those who are barely making ends meet. That is you and I, the taxpayers. According to the number of crunchers with the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, in order to spend money it doesn't have on programs it can't afford, our government, my friends, is borrowing approximately $6 billion dollars per day. Do you get it? Basically, the U.S. government is funding its existence with a credit card. Let's talk about numbers. The national debt, the amount the federal government has borrowed over the years and must pay back, is more than $34 trillion. And will grow another $19 trillion by 2033, if not before. And the bulk of that debt has been amassed over the past two decades, thanks in large part to the fiscal shenanigans of four presidents, 10 sessions of Congress, and two wars. The problem is, it's beyond two wars. We got our nose stuck in three or four of them right now. It has been estimated that the amount this country owes is now 130% greater than its gross domestic product. All the products and services produced in a single year by labor and property supplied by the citizens. Simple terms, folks. Government's spending more money than they're bringing in. The U.S. ranks as the 12th most indebted nation in the world, with much of that debt owed to the Federal Reserve. No, Federal Reserve ain't a division of the U.S. government. It's a privately owned firm. And we've done programs covered that issue so many times over the years, it's sickening. Our government owns money to large investment funds and foreign governments, namely Japan and China. Oh, that's right. I saw another headline today. What'd that sucker say? Let's see if I can find it real fast. Oh, yeah. Hang on. What's that? Who is this person that keeps sending me emails? Emil Amoroso. I don't know who you are. I'm not opening it. If you're listening, it's some scam. Where the heck is this? Biden's under fire for shutting down U.S. oil production, urged to impose sanctions on Venezuela. Gold prices are doing something insane right now. Okay, silver's beating gold this year. Operation Lone Star's impact. Over 500,000 illegal immigrants have been apprehended and criminal arrests made. Oh, yeah. 20 states have sued the Biden administration for flying illegal immigrants into the U.S. Oh, an Afghan migrant on terror watch list has been released again by U.S. officials. It just goes on and on and on. Biden's border sees nearly 500,000 immigrant children arrive in this country without a parent. Afghan migrant on terror watch list roamed free in the U.S. after being released by Border Patrol. It's another story. It just goes on and on and on. Illegals want to invade and occupy your home. Oh, yeah. Yeah, baby, it's real fine, you know. Unbelievable. Uh-oh, Biden's not going to testify. Was that Daddy Biden or the kid? Hey! You remember last year or last week we ended a program with a speech by Charlie Chaplin's Adolf Hitler type character? Charlie Chaplin was born on this day in 1889. How interesting. Well, I'm not having a good time finding this sort of thing. Hey, Annie, how are you? Interesting stuff. No, I'm not finding this other piece. Oh, get out of here. So what's your... Help save a baby from abortion. Lady, I've been fighting that all my whole life. It's sickening. Meh, a lot of garbage. A lot of garbage. Well, I'm not finding what I'm trying to find, so we have to let that one go. China. Seems to me the piece I found something in the effect of somewhere around 35,000 illegal Chinese have broken into this country. What about the interest payments on the national debt? Over $395 billion, significantly more than the government spends on veterans' benefits and services. And according to the Pew Research Center, that's Pew, more than it will spend on elementary and secondary education or disaster relief or agricultural, science and space programs, foreign aid, and natural resources and environmental protection combined. And according to the Committee for a Reasonable Federal Budget, the interest we paid on this borrowed money is, quote, nearly twice what the federal government will spend on transportation infrastructure, over four times as much as it will spend on K through 12 education, almost four times what it will spend on housing, and over eight times what it will spend on science, space, and technology. In 10 years, those interest payments will exceed our entire military budget. This is financial tyranny. My friends, we've been sold a bill of goods by politicians promising to pay down the national debt, to jumpstart the economy, to rebuild our infrastructure, to secure our borders, ensure our security, and make us all healthy, wealthy, and happy. None of which has come to pass. We're still being loaded down with debt, not of our own making, while our government remains unrepentant, unfazed, and undeterred in its wanton spending and stupidity. Oh, indeed, the national deficit. Now, that is the difference between the government, what the government spends and the revenue it takes in, remains at more than $1.5 trillion. I'm going to tell you, if you manage your personal finances the way the government mismanages the nation's finances, you'd be in debtor's prison by now. Despite the government propaganda being peddled by the politicians and the news media, yet the government isn't spending our tax dollars to make our lives better. We're being robbed blind so that the governmental elite can get richer. In the eyes of the government, we the people, the voters, consumers, the taxpayers, are little more than pocketbooks waiting to be picked. We, the people, have become the new permanent underclass in America. Oh, man. Consider this. The government can seize your home and your car, which you bought and paid for, over non-payment of your taxes. Government agents can freeze and seize your bank accounts and other valuables if they merely suspect wrongdoing. And the IRS insists on getting the first cut of your salary to pay for government programs over which you have no say. Stick around. We'll pick up when we come back. We'll have a little dance with Kim. Be right back. That is one of the most calming pieces of music. Unless you watch the video, then you don't calm down. It's Kim Novak dancing with William Holden, Picnic. As I mentioned, or maybe didn't before the break, we have no real say-so in how our government runs, how our taxpayer funds are used, but we're being forced to pay through the nose anyway. We have no real say. But that doesn't prevent the government from fleecing us at every turn and forcing us to pay for endless wars that do more to fund the military-industrial complex and protect us. Pork barrel projects that produce little to nothing. And a police state that serves only to imprison us within its walls. My friends, if you have no choice, no voice, no real options when it comes to the government's claims on our property and our money, that we're not free. And it wasn't always this way, of course. Early Americans went to war over the inalienable rights described by philosopher John Locke as the natural rights of life, liberty, and property. It didn't take long, however, 100 years, in fact, before the American government was laying claim to the citizenry's property by levying taxes to pay for the Civil War. And as the New York Times reports, widespread resistance led to its repeal in 1872. And determined to claim some of the citizenry's wealth for its own uses, the government reinstituted the income tax in 1894. Charles Pollock challenged the tax as unconstitutional, and the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in his favor. But Pollock's victory was relatively short-lived, for members of Congress, united in their determination to tax the American people's income, worked together to adopt a constitutional amendment to overrule the Pollock decision. Now, on the eve of World War I, in 1913, Congress instituted a permanent income tax by way of the 16th Amendment to the Constitution and the Revenue Act of 1913. And under the Revenue Act, individuals with income exceeding $3,000 could be taxed, starting at 1% up to 7% for incomes exceeding $500,000. Sounds like pretty marginal figures, don't they? But it's all gone downhill from there, my friends. Unsurprisingly, the government has used its tax powers to advance its own imperialistic agendas, and the courts have repeatedly upheld the government's power to penalize or jail those of us who refuse to pay the taxes. And so while we're struggling to get by and making tough decisions about how to spend what little money actually makes it into our pockets, after the federal, the state, and the local governments take their share. Oh, and this does not include the stealth taxes imposed through tolls and fines and other fiscal penalties. This government continues to do whatever it damn well pleases, levy taxes, rack up debt, spend outrageously and irresponsibly with little thought for the plight of its citizens. And to top it all off, all those wars the U.S. is so eager to fight abroad are being waged with borrowed funds. As The Atlantic reported recently, U.S. leaders are essentially bankrolling the wars with debt in the form of purchases of U.S. Treasury bonds by U.S.-based entities like pension funds and state and local governments and by countries like China and Japan. Oh, of course, we're the ones who have to repay the borrowed debt. Let me give you an example. American taxpayers have been forced to shell out more than $5.6 trillion since 9/11 for the military-industrial complex's costly, endless so-called war on terrorism. Now, get this. That translates to roughly $23,000 per taxpayer to wage wars abroad, occupy foreign countries, provide financial aid to foreign allies, and to fill the pockets of defense contractors and grease the hands of corrupt foreign dignitaries. And mind you, that's only a portion of what the Pentagon spends on America's military empire. The United States also spends more money on foreign aid than any other nation. Nearly $300 billion dispersed over a five-year period. More than 150 countries around the world receive U.S. taxpayer-funded assistance, and most of the funds going to the Middle East, to Africa, to Asia. And that price tag keeps growing. As Forbes reports, U.S. foreign aid dwarfs the federal funds spent by 48 out of the 50 state governments annually. Only the state governments of California and New York have spent more federal funds than what the U.S. sent abroad each year to foreign countries. And most recently, the U.S. has allocated nearly $115 billion in emergency military and humanitarian aid just for the Ukraine since the beginning of the Russia invasion. In 1953, Dwight D. Eisenhower warned that this is how the military-industrial complex continues to get richer, while the American taxpayer is forced to pay for programs that do little to enhance our lives or ensure our happiness and well-being or secure our freedoms. My friends, this is no way of life. Yet it's not just the government's endless wars that are bleeding us dry. We're also being forced to shell out money for surveillance systems to track our own movements, money to further militarize our already militarized police, money to allow the government to raid our homes and bank accounts, money to fund schools where our children learn nothing about freedom and everything about how to comply, and on and on and on it goes. You know, there was a time in our history when our forebears said enough is enough, and they stopped paying their taxes to what they considered to be an illegitimate government. And they stood their ground and refused to support a system that was slowly choking out any attempts at self-governance and which refused to be held accountable for its crimes against the people. Their resistance sowed the seeds for the revolution that would follow. But unfortunately, my friends, in the 200 plus years since we established our own government, we have allowed bankers, corporate turncoats, number-crunching bureau rats muddy the waters and pilfer the accounts to such an extent that, well, I can't even say we're back where we started. I think we're worse off. But once again, we've got a despotic regime with an imperial ruler doing as they please. Imperial ruler? Joey? That guy couldn't even look at a ruler, a 12-inch ruler, and even understand what he was looking at. He's being totally controlled. You know it, and I know it. And in this nation today, we've got a judicial system that insists that we have no rights under a government which demands that the people march in lockstep with its dictates. Once again, we've got to decide whether we'll keep marching or break stride and make a turn towards freedom. But what if we didn't just pull out our pocketbooks and pony up to the federal government's outrageous demands for more money? What if we didn't just dutifully line up and drop our hard-earned dollars into the collection bucket? No questions asked about how it will be spent. What if, instead of quietly sending in our tax checks, hoping vainly for some meager return, that we did a little recalculating our own and started deducting from our taxes those programs that we refused to support? We're no longer living the American dream. My friends, we're living a financial nightmare. John Whitehead. As I've shared with you so many times over the years, the phrase "the fall of America" suggests some cataclysmic event ended the American empire, which has stretched from Maine to California and Florida to Washington. But at the end, there was no straining at the gates, no barbarian horde that dispatched the empire in one fell swoop. Rather, the empire fell slowly as a result of challenges from within and without, and changing over the course of hundreds of years until its form was unrecognizable. Do you not see that today? It's quite profound. Allow me to take just a moment. Over the last several weeks, I've done some programs that have been very upsetting to certain listeners, because they heard what they wanted to hear and not heard what was being said. I'm not going to talk about what programs were, but there are some interesting things that we've done in programming over the last several weeks. Last Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, we did a program that dealt with let's see if I can find it. It's called The Day of Nuclear Armageddon: How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. Talked about newly declassified documents revealed in minute-by-minute detail what the end of the world could look like, why those vaporized instantly by an atomic bomb would be the lucky ones. We, of course, closed the program with a piece of music from I think we closed with a piece from Dr. Strangelove. We'll meet again. Who knows where? Who knows when? The article is published on federalobserver.com. It's entitled "The Day of Nuclear Armageddon." Of course, I cheated and used a subtitle from Dr. Strangelove: How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. The difference is between the song that we closed the program with and the video that we have at the end of this thing is profound. It's well worth looking at. It's kind of spooky. We've done some other programs that have been amazingly tough, amazingly serious. Kind of stuff that I haven't done for a lot of years. I'm angry. I see things turning in the wrong direction. Article entitled "America Abandons the First Amendment." Some other stuff I've shared with you. It's unbelievable. Some of Charles Dickens' latest pieces. And I got a piece of his that was supposed to post today, but when I made a decision to take this program down a whole different direction, I couldn't get to it. and that's okay. I knew there was no way I was going to be able to do it today, because I seriously felt that I needed to take this program the direction I've taken it tonight. I'm not going to go down the path of sharing with you the gold and silver discussions we did last hour. I do share with you, however, if any of it makes any sense to you, if there's things that you would like to do to attempt to protect your wealth, then I invite you to this stupid article flat disappeared. I can't find it. I could have sworn I moved it. I'm going to have to go back and find it in my records and move it back up to where it's supposed to be today. That means I did not get the I did not get the proper date changed on it. That's weird. Oh, well, we'll find it. We'll get it straightened out. You know, I can do that. I know how to do it. But if I can be of any assistance, if you got some questions about precious metals ownership, you've got some questions about maybe some of the things you've done in the past, I'm not going to get into a sales pitch with you. I'll clarify some things with you and for you, so that you know the right thing to do. If I can be of assistance, if you need to raise some money, if you're sitting on gold and silver you bought years ago, and you need to raise some cash to take care of some family issues, health issues, I can handle liquidations for you. I don't play around. We get your funds out as quickly as humanly possible, generally within a couple of days. And I'll give you directions of where to ship the stuff to, depending on whether it's going to come to me or if it's going to go somewhere else to one of my suppliers. They're very quick about getting funds to me overnight. Once they've received the goods and counted it, make sure it's what it's supposed to be. They wire funds out to me. I will turn around and wire funds back out to you or get you a check if that's necessary. By the way, I will tell you right now, let's assume you decide to do a sizable purchase with me. Gold, silver, doesn't make any difference what it is. If you make a decision to wire the funds to me, which is fine, costs you a couple bucks, costs me a couple bucks getting it, but it speeds the process up. You go into your bank to do a bank wire to anyone, and somebody, oh, what are you buying? All you tell them is, I'm buying property. And if they start getting nosy, saying, oh, well, where's it located? Well, thank you for your interest, but it's no concern of yours. That's your answer. Okay? It's nobody's damn business when they start playing those games. I get ticked off with that kind of stuff. Very, very angry, as you should be as well. Comes back to the basis of this program. Who do you trust? I worked hard for it. I hope you have trust in what I do here for you, the work that we do on the air. As you well know, I do not do a massive amount of commercialization on this program. But to the best of my knowledge, I am still the only broadcaster that contributes one dime to RBN. People who acquire precious metals through Kettle Marine that are regular listeners to this program, and you call me and say, heard you on the air tonight, blah, 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 whatever the case may happen to be, this network is going to get a sizable percentage of the so-called profits. So, keep that in mind. You can reach me on by phone, 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also reach me by... Okay, that's good, honey. Thanks. Through the email. Go to any of our websites. You go to Federal Observer or you go to Sierra Madre Precious Metals. Lower right-hand column. Our address, Kettle Moraine LTD, P.O. Box 579, et cetera, et cetera. My phone number is posted. The email's there. You just click, a right-click on that email. It'll open up a shit. Shoot me out a note. You can also call me. I've got a voicemail. You can leave a message. You can text me at that phone number as well, because it is a cell phone. Anything we can do to help. Like I say, if you just have questions about things you have purchased in the past and you need some honest considerations as to what you're holding, I'm not going to sit there saying, oh, my God, you bought that crap. I'm not going to play that game. You made a decision. It was one you made. If you want to do some alterations to it, you want to trade some things, liquidate some stuff. If you need to sell because you need cash to care for your family, that's what I'll do. I've said what I've had to say about dealing with other companies, especially the scams on television. I want to puke every time I see those ads. Just want a flat scream. So, we're running low on time. We're going to be done here in a minute. We're going to give you a nice piece of closing music, which maybe will make you think, which is well worth it. I want to thank you for staying with me tonight. I hope you have. Hope you've learned some things with us. Hope that you've been able to get some benefit out of all of this. Maybe you've learned some things. Maybe you made you raise your eyebrows a bit. Anyway, just about time for us to say goodnight. I will be back tomorrow, working on a pretty intense cancer program for tomorrow, health-related stuff, and hope you'll join us with it. My job is to keep you healthy and healthy. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett. Broken good night. Lines, broken strings, broken dreads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads, people sleeping in broken beds. Ain't no use jiving, ain't no use joking. Switches, broken gates, broken dishes, broken pots. Streets are filled with broken hearts, broken words never meant to be spoken. Everything is broken. Seems like every time you stop and turn around. We'll be right back.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yoga vaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.